The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. There are several new innovations being explored and applied in the different levels of consciousness, be it in the physical, emotional, mental, and/or spiritual realm. We will explain and compare these new healing elements to help improve the quality of life for you and your loved ones. Now, here is Dr. Michael Cudlis.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so glad to be on the show again and to be talking to my friends out there. This is Speaking of Health. I'm Dr. Michael Cudlis, and we have a wonderful guest on today. But you know, I'm a chiropractor in Kalamazoo, Michigan, the greatest city in the world. You know, I've yet to hear of anyone calling me up and calling me on my claim that Kalamazoo is the absolute best city in the world to live. And that's one of the reasons is, of course, our Kalamazoo Promise, where we guarantee if your children go to Kalamazoo Public Schools and graduate, they'll have the opportunity to get a paid 4-year scholarship to any Michigan university in the state. All they have to do is go to school, graduate, and have the grades to get into college. Kalamazoo, through the Kalamazoo Promise, pays their way. Do you have a school or a city that can do something like that? I don't know, but I know I do. And that's one of the things why I am so proud to be a member of the Kalamazoo community. So keep that in mind today, ladies and gentlemen. We have some very, very, we have an interesting guest on here today, and she is one of the most interesting people I know. I've known her for quite a while, and her name is Kathy Fuller. She happens to be a professor at the Western Michigan University here in Kalamazoo. And as such, she has done just things for years and years and years that promote education. She's bilingual. She's set up programs to train holistic health professionals in Mexico as well as the United States. She has done a ton of different education, ending up in her bilingual education, but also her holistic education here in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And so without further ado, I'm going to welcome Kathy Fuller. And good afternoon, Kathy. How you doing?
Doing fine, Michael. How are you?
I'm alive and well. And geez, your education goes really, I mean, your educational training goes way back. And it's got nothing to do with how old you are. We're not even talking about that. But, I mean, you are a consultant specializing in personal health from a holistic perspective, multicultural education, community development, team building, interpreter training, and project management. So, I mean, you have a lot of skills there. And presently, you're a part-time professor here in the Integrative Health Program at Western Michigan. And if I'm not wrong, the Integrative Health Program at Western Michigan was the first one in the country for holistic health, wasn't it?
Well, I think it was, or at least one of the first, for sure. We've been here now for over 30 years.
So it's well-established. And there's not that many holistic programs even now, 30 years later, is there?
No, there really aren't that many across the country. I think we're fortunate to have the Integrative Holistic Health and Wellness Program here at Western Michigan University. Where we have an undergraduate minor. We offer an undergraduate minor for students, and then we also have a graduate certificate program available.
Uh-huh. Now, your major is in clinical psychology, and how did that bring you back into holistic health? How did you come around to embracing the ideas of this advanced healthcare philosophy?
Well, that's interesting because clinical psychology, I learned a lot about behavior change and the importance of living a healthy lifestyle as part of my clinical training. But then when I started working at Western, I was the director of the Rural Health Education Program, where we encouraged health profession students to take jobs in small towns and rural areas across the Southwest Michigan region. And while I was doing that, I was asked to if I would like to teach a course in the holistic health program, which I said yes to, and have been teaching that same course now for over 20 years, and in the process then developed some other courses as well.
Ah, so you got drawn in and you got hooked on holistic health, in other
I
words.
I did indeed.
Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit about holistic health. When we talk about healthcare in the United States, about the only thing we talk about is treatment of disease, and yet holistic health has a whole different process or a whole different perspective that it comes from. Could you give us a little information on that?
I'd be happy to, Michael. You know, we talk a lot about holistic medicine, and that's not really an area that I want to talk about. That's more your area of expertise. What I'm really involved in is talking more about how do we live a holistic lifestyle, and what does it mean to live a holistic health style? And I think there are some core concepts to holism. For example, the whole idea of interconnectedness, that our mind, body, and spirit are all working together, not separately. In allopathic medicine or more traditional medicine, we tend to separate the body into the psychologists and psychiatrists get the mind and the, the orthopedics get the bones and so on and so forth. But in holistic health, we talk more about all of these parts and pieces of our body work together as an integral whole. For example, I'm sorry.
No, I just say I see. I understand what you're saying there.
Yeah. So, and of course, I believe that all living things are interconnected. So that we are, as a whole person with our mind, body, and spirit all acting interconnectedly, we move into a society, into a world where we're also connected to nature, and we're connected to other people, and we're connected to all living things on our planet. So that's what I mean by interconnectedness.
Yeah, and I think anybody who has a brain cell that functions can see that there is interconnectedness. There's no such thing as I can do my thing and you can do yours and we won't touch each other. I mean, the new physics is showing that everything not only is interconnected, but it influences everything else.
That's exactly right.
I think Lynn McTaggart has done a lot with her work on the zero-point field, connecting that. In fact, those of us, in fact, the human being interprets a world of waveforms and creates a construct and a reality from it. Now, in along with the idea of holistic health, what are some of the principles that go into developing that so that people out there could go, whoa, I kind of like the idea. Well, how would I get involved in that? What would you suggest they start with?
Well, I think, you know, in addition to realizing and recognizing the interconnectedness of our mind, body, and spirit, I think also taking a look at balance and harmony in our lives. How balanced a life are we living? Are we also busy scurrying about doing work that we forget about taking good care of ourselves in terms of getting enough rest and getting enough exercise and eating well. So just kind of taking a look at how we can balance all of the activities that we participate in our lives in a healthy way. And also, do we have harmony in our lives? You know, do we have harmony within ourselves? Are we familiar with and really do we like ourselves? So many times I think we are our own worst critic and, you know, we don't always take the time to see all of our good qualities. We tend to sort of be afraid of those that shadow side of ourself sometimes. And I think embracing ourself as a whole person, we can find harmony within ourself. And then looking into our relationships and finding harmony and balance in our relationships as well. And I think, too, I think one of the things that really is a hallmark of holistic health, which might differ from other types of interventions and lifestyles, would be the responsibility of the individual. So as an individual, I feel I'm responsible for my health. There are lots of things, lots of other people that are also responsible, right down to our federal government who makes policies and about, you know, health and health-related issues. But, and of course, physicians and practitioners of all ilks and kinds. But I have a personal responsibility to take care of myself and to make sure that I'm doing all I can to live in a healthy way.
Okay, and what are some of those things that we would go for each individual to live in a healthy way? On our radio show here, we're always talking about rest, exercise, good nutrition, positive mental attitude, spinal integrity, or chiropractic care as part of the health balance. And does that, are those some of the things that you embrace as well?
Well, indeed. You know, I like to think about it in sort of three phases. One is self-care, of course, where we do talk about the things you just mentioned. And the second would be how we connect with ourselves on an emotional level. And the third would be how we connect with other people. So in that first area of self-care, yes, I think as you already know and talk about on this program a lot, is the importance of regular physical activity and exercise. And I don't necessarily mean going to the gym and working out. I mean, finding physical activity that you enjoy doing and doing it regularly, and doing as much of it as you can. Well, and actually the literature tells us that we don't have to spend a whole lot of time. If it's consistent, we can spend about a half an hour a day, just walking, for example. And if we do that 3 days a week, we would substantially increase our health. And those are minimum levels, of course. And yeah, those go hand in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just going to say, those are relatively simple things.
Yeah.
I mean, walking, that's how we normally move. How simple
exactly.
can it get?
Yeah. And if we just walked every day, a lot of us have pets. I know I got myself a dog a few years ago because I found that in the winter I wasn't exercising as much as I'd like to. And I didn't want to go out in the cold, but I bought a little dog. And now I'm back out there in the winter. I walk all year round with my little dog. Of course, I used to be a competitive triathlete, but over the years, I think I've been working out now regularly on a weekly basis for about 45 years. Changing things up as I go throughout the years and, you know, changing it up and finding new interests and so on.
Changing it up keeps it interesting. When
exactly.
we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about connecting with yourself and the
yeah.
inner worlds of connecting our emotional and mental aspects with our physical aspects, which to me is a way of finding out how we know or getting to know ourselves at a much deeper and richer level as a human being. This mm-hmm. is Dr. Michael Cudlis. We're talking with Kathy Fuller, and this is Speaking of Health, and we'll be right back.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Speaking of Health is brought to you by Old Time Medicinals Essential Oil Formulas. Remedies from yesterday to help you heal today. Have aches, pain, muscle soreness, inflamed joints, or stiffness cut into the joy of your life? Have you been denied the health, wealth, and happiness you deserve? Old Time Medicinals has life-changing products to help you help yourself to a pain-free existence. For more information, email us at oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com. Get your life back now. Email oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com.
Have you ever noticed that modern medicine tends to treat symptoms rather than causes? As a result, people rarely experience true healing or a transformation from which the body emerges healthy, vibrant, and alive. On Healing From Within with John Robson, learn to harness the synergistic healing power of your body and mind while discovering and dissolving the actual causes of your emotional and physical pain. Tune in and start healing from within every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudless. To reach Dr. Cudless or his guest today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to drmcudless@gmail.com. Now, back to Speaking of Health.
Back, Dr. Michael Cudless here. Remember, you can contact me at kcchealth.net. Be sure to read our blog, The Multidimensional Human. And we're speaking with Kathy Fuller, professor at Western Michigan University, who is part and has been part informing and teaching the holistic health program there at that wonderful university. So, Kathy, we were talking earlier about the idea of simple things just as going for a walk would be helpful. But what else have we got? You mentioned earlier about the emotional and mental aspects and how that can contribute to our health. And I don't think people realize that thoughts are things, emotions are things. They can influence our health. And how are some of the ways we can holistically approach those from your perspective?
Yeah, well, once we get enough exercise and eat healthy and get enough sleep and understand what our risk behaviors are and sort of our genetic background and are taking good care of ourselves, then I think also then, there, as you say, we come into the more emotional and mental areas. And so, first of all, I like to have my students think about their values. We don't oftentimes sit down and think about what guides our behavior during each day. And I think that starts with what are our values, what are the principles that guide us. But then also recognizing that we have an internal self. You know, a lot of people, when I say, are you aware that you have a guide inside of you that really, if you listen, gives you pretty good advice? And sometimes students look at me and don't understand what I'm talking about. So what I mean by that is, here's an example. Have you ever had an opportunity to, you know, you're invited to go someplace and you have this gut feeling, this sort of queasy feeling in your stomach about, I'm not sure if I should do that or not. And you don't pay attention to that, and so you go ahead and do that thing anyway. Get there, and you're very uncomfortable. It feels terrible. Something not so pleasant happens. And you say to yourself later, I knew I shouldn't have done that. And, yeah. And so what I say is listen up front. You know, learn to tune into yourself because your body will tell you when you're approaching something that's dangerous or isn't healthy, it doesn't fit with your own values, for example. You get this queasiness in your stomach oftentimes.
Yeah, and that's our intuition.
Exactly.
Yeah, our inner knower.
Yeah, that's that inner voice, that intuition, exactly, that says, do it or don't do it, or that's good or not good, or and really helps you along. But you know, I think oftentimes we're so busy that we don't tune into that intuitive part of ourselves.
Well, and you know, I think too, part of that is how many of us have been taught to look at that. I mean, education now is kind of devolving into just spit out the facts, become a rote memory learner. And we're not really taught how to learn. And to a certain extent, those refined aspects of where we would think for ourselves, I don't think students are being taught that too much anymore. So they come into your class and you say something like that, and it probably their eyes probably look like a deer in the headlights. They have no clue about what you're referring to.
I think you're right, and you know, this is one of the things I love so much about our holistic program here at Western Michigan University, because, and I tell students, these are probably the only courses you're going to have in your whole college career that are really about you as a person and who you are, and help to move you in the direction of understanding yourself better and caring about yourself better, caring for yourself more, and then teaching you how to integrate that into your chosen profession, so that a lot of our students who might be nursing students or speech-language pathology students or social work students, for example, or physician assistant students might come and take our classes. And what we want them to do is get that holistic perspective going in their own life so that they can bring that to their patients and clients in their professional life as well.
Oh, that's extremely important. And I would also think, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it would seem sometimes when you approach that and you talk to them about that, you might find some static from some people that are going, oh, I don't know, listening inside, that could be the devil's tool. I'm supposed to do what I'm told. And, you know, they kind of abdicate their responsibility a little bit. And
well, yeah, that's true. But, you know, at the same time, what I have found is if I approach it with students and say, do some experiments. I'm going to challenge you to do some experiments. For example, I want you to just listen to your thoughts for this 1 week. Just this week, just kind of tune into what you're saying to yourself throughout the day. Are your thoughts to yourself positive? Are they negative? Are you saying uplifting things to yourself all day, or are you beating yourself up all day? And just take the challenge and listen. And when students do that, they come back to me and say, wow, I had no idea that I was saying such negative things to myself. And because a lot of us, it turns out, we're our worst critics. So as we move through our day, if we don't do something that we think is right or good or perfect, we're also taught in our culture to be perfect, which I think is an overrated value, because nobody's perfect. We all have our strengths. We all have our weaknesses. We all have things that we do well. Most of us do some things well, and you know, a lot of things sort of okay, and some things we can't do at all. And I think the sooner we accept that we're not perfect, then we'll stop being so hard on ourselves. But as we move through our day, if we expect ourselves to be perfect, then every time we fall short of that mark, we say terrible things to ourselves.
Oh, I can't tell you how many patients that come in to see me, and we're talking along lines like that because they have some behaviors that they wish to change, or because they have nerve interference, vertebral subluxations that have an emotional component or mental component to them, and they emphasize this, well, I have to be perfect. And they almost use that, I have to be perfect, as an excuse to beat themselves up.
Exactly.
And it's like, well, wait a second, where did you learn that?
Yeah.
You know, how were you taught that this is a perfect world? I mean, nothing in this world is perfect. And I think that's an obvious hole in our education, because, you know, I have patients that go, geez, my dad, I'd come home and have all A's and a B, and he'd go, what's wrong with the B? How come that's not an A?
Yeah.
And we start to learn that gosh, you know, I can do better. And if I don't do everything A quality, I'm kind of an A-hole. I mean, I'm not sure, you know. They run into all kinds of trouble there. And I don't know. I think sometimes this whole idea of learning facts, learning how to do things, without the equal aspects of learning self-esteem, learning positive self-talk, which, as you know, in psychology is a very, very positive skill for people to accept. I think those are very, very important things, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I think they are. And in fact, once students then tune into their internal thinking, I ask them to identify a few of those negative things that they might be saying to themselves all day long. And then to find a way to make those thoughts more positive so that they can actually, when they say, oh, you stupid idiot, you didn't do this or that, they can actually turn that and begin to say, oh, I see, I didn't do that quite as well as I wished I would have, or make it into a little more positive or even a little more neutral, like a statement to themselves. And what they report when they're able to do that is it's much more uplifting. Their day goes along much smoother if they're not beating themselves up, but if they're saying positive things or at least neutral things to themselves.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the world's much easier to listen to.
Absolutely.
Especially when it's coming from the inside out.
Yeah. And it's also, and I think that stress comes into this too, because if we're constantly beating ourselves up, that creates a lot of stress in our life. Well, life is stressful. We don't need to be creating more stress in our lives because we're not perfect, you know, and beating ourselves up for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that oftentimes then leads us to looking at stress management and just looking at coping strategies. And so another thing I like to talk with the students about is let's look at what some of your coping strategies are that you use on a daily basis. Now, there are healthy coping strategies, and there are not so healthy coping strategies. For example, is if when you get really stressed, you didn't do well on that exam or you didn't do as well as you thought you wanted to on something, you might go out and get drunk. Well, I don't have anything against going out and having a few drinks, but if you are using alcohol as a stress reduction tool because you are beating yourself up all day, that's not healthy.
It really can't get you going the way you want to go. You know, I always tell patients, your body never forgets. So when you go out and you do something like you get loaded and plastered, the next day the body always has a way of reminding you called the hangover.
Yeah.
Going,
yeah.
I know what you did to me yesterday. Now this is what I'm going to do to you today. How do you like this?
And yeah, then it becomes self-defeating.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, a lot of times people talk about the idea of this beating themselves up. And I think if they just did the simple thing every night of counting their blessings, what went good today? Not went, what's wrong with me? What do I got to do? How come I screwed up? But what were the good things? They would find almost every single day that list would be longer.
Well,
and it would take them
absolutely. And it's interesting that you bring that up, Michael, because I think the research shows us that if periodically we sit down and just list the things that we're grateful for, you know, we tend to dwell on the things that we don't have, the things we think we want that would make us happy. But really, just as you say, if you would sit down and just think about it and actually write down, you know, three or four things each day that you are grateful for, it is very uplifting, and it reminds us that there's probably much more in most of our lives to be grateful and thankful for than the other way around.
Yeah, that's a good point. On that, I want to take a break right here. And so this is Speaking of Health. This is Dr. Michael Cudlis, and you're listening to a great show. I'm speaking positively here with Kathy Fuller, and we will be right back.
helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
Speaking of Health is brought to you by Old Time Medicinals Essential Oil Formulas. Remedies from yesterday to help you heal today. Have aches, pain, muscle soreness, inflamed joints, or stiffness cut into the joy of your life? Have you been denied the health, wealth, and happiness you deserve? Old Time Medicinals has life-changing products to help you help yourself to a pain-free existence. For more information, email us at oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com. Get your life back now. Email oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com. Are you stuck, feeling frustrated or overwhelmed? Do you keep putting off your dreams until tomorrow? Is your to-do list growing while time keeps shrinking? Are your closets and cupboards crammed but your life still feels empty? Join soul coach and vitality expert Amy Dufresne each week for Vital Lessons, feeding your body, mind, and soul. Amy and her expert guests will help you to clear out the clutter and inject more joy into your life. Be inspired to keep going and create the life you crave. Listen Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Hi, I'm Ed Krell, CEO of Destination Maternity. We proudly support the March of Dimes work to reduce the rate of premature birth. The numbers have gone down in the past 5 years, but still, nearly 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States each year. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and community programs to help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. To reach Dr. Cudlis or his guest today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to drmcudlis@gmail.com. Now, back to Speaking of Health.
Welcome back. Dr. Michael Cudlis here. We're speaking with Professor Kathy Fuller from Western Michigan University. We're talking about holistic health. What goes into being holistically healthy? The idea of looking at yourself as a total human, a multidimensional human, one that's physical, emotional, mental, and spiritually complete and whole. We've mentioned a little bit about simple things to connect ourselves physically, also about some simple things we can do emotionally, positive self-talk, gratitude, listing the positive things in our health. In fact, I know there's a wonderful book out there called You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought, written by Peter McWilliams and John Roger. And you cannot afford the luxury of a negative thought. And yet, most of the time in our lives, we've got negative thought after negative thought. We never think of like, oh, is there anything positive in my life? If we sit down and write those down, and that's important, not put it on your computer with your typing fingers, but with a paper and pencil and write it there, there's a more intimate connection when you put something on paper from your heart through your hand, through that lead onto the paper. Much more intimate, much more sacred than if you're just tapping a few keys. So gratitude is important here. What else goes into this, Kathy?
Well, I think, too, we live in such a fast-paced world. Two things I want to mention here. One is the amount of electronics that we are involved in. We seem to be on our phones all the time, and I'll maybe talk about this a little bit more in a few minutes when we come back to connecting with others. But I think it's an important part of connecting with ourselves, too, is to take the time to turn that phone off, to get off of our computers, to get off of our tablets, and to get out of the computer games, and just spend some time with ourselves, and taking time, as we've said, to think about what we're grateful for and what we're thankful for in our lives. But also then, you know, I think if we pay more attention to what's going on in the moment with ourselves, and being more present-minded so that we're not worrying about what happened yesterday or what might happen tomorrow, but if we try to stay more present in the world, that then we can begin to watch what goes on around us. And I really truly believe that if we were kinder throughout the day, kinder to ourselves by saying more positive things to ourselves, and kinder to others by doing some, I like to call them random acts of kindness. You know, just hold the door for somebody, smile at somebody, buy somebody a cup of coffee, call a friend, you know, stop by and say hello to someone you know isn't feeling well. Not only do I find that doing an act of kindness makes someone else feel good, but it also makes us feel good about ourselves when we help other people.
You know, there's a lot of research that shows if you do random acts of kindness or if you volunteer to be of assistance to someone else, that's good for your health. You're going to live longer.
Exactly.
Because of the satisfaction that happens. When you have satisfaction, biochemically in your body, you produce not things like stress hormones like cortisol, but you produce more positive things like endorphins, which are pain relievers, 1,000 times more powerful than the best opiates that chemistry can get you. But also they give you a sense of euphoria, a feeling of happiness, a feeling of satisfaction, a feeling of, aha, this is the way life should be.
Exactly.
And that comes from just being nice.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Just being
amazing.
Nice.
Just simple. We're talking, this is not rocket science. It's just simple stuff, you know? And think about how our lives would be improved if we, one, first took better care of ourselves by exercising, by eating right, by getting enough sleep and so on. But then if we really started speaking nicely to ourselves, if we thought about what our values and what guides our life and really try to live by those things, and if we thought about the things we're grateful for more often instead of the things we don't have and that we want to have, and it's not material things that make us happy, it turns out. It's actually caring about ourselves, caring about other people, and being kind.
You know, those sorts of things, That brings people into a very risky place in our society because of the fast nature, because of the tough sort of calloused approach that we have out there in the world. It brings us into facing the idea of intimacy yeah. with ourselves, intimacy with others, which means being vulnerable and risking and being willing to open our hearts to those. And yet,
exactly.
without that kind of risk, without that sort of opportunity, and I'm not talking about keeping your heart on your sleeve where anybody can take a shot at it, but opening yourself personally. And I think we have to do that by recognizing how good we are and counting those blessings every day and being grateful for ourselves and the things that we've done that have been positive in the world. And when we do that, then we have the opportunity to do it with others. And when we do it with others and open our heart, truly magical things can occur.
Yes, and we begin to feel fulfilled, and we begin to find meaning and purpose in our lives. It's amazing, really, how some of these simple, seemingly simple things that we're talking about can change our lives to bring more meaning, joy, and happiness.
I've got a T-shirt. And on the T-shirt, it says, the way to live life, breathe in, breathe out, and repeat.
Well, you know, that I love that. And not only that, but that then reminds me of how important breathing is. You know, one way to just relax is breathing. I mean, consciously be aware of your breath, right? So just to take some deep breaths in through your nose and out through your mouth a few times a day can be a huge stress reducer. I mean, it's so simple, but it can be a big stress reducer. I do a meditation every morning for 10 to 20 minutes where I just sit and try to clear my mind and just breathe. And I find, and the research shows, that if you do that on a regular basis, you handle stress differently.
completely differently. You have a whole different chemistry. We have 13 patients in our office right now that I have on a breathing technique. And when they do this simple breathing technique three times a day, they lower their blood pressure just as much as if they're taking two prescription blood pressure medications. So just the simple idea that you can breathe and keep yourself balanced and lower your blood pressure, I mean, these are totally foreign ideas.
And I know, it's so simple and so powerful.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And these sorts of things, I think we've forgotten in our fast-paced technological world that life can be simple. Life can be elegant and beautiful by embracing just the simple things that we were born with.
Yeah.
The ability to breathe, the ability to move, the ability to eat good food. Not plastic stuff that comes out of the box. Heck, most of the nutrition would come from eating the box, not what's in it. But these very simple pleasures.
I think you're absolutely right. And I blame advertising a lot for getting us off base in this regard.
Yeah.
Because advertising, of course, wants to sell us something. And in the process of selling us something, they've also sold us the idea that if we buy this or that product that they're advertising, that we will feel better, we will look better, it will improve our lives in some way. And I'm not saying that some material comfort isn't nice to have, but they're not selling the kinds of things we're talking about.
Well, and it's different too when you're selling these ideas through illusion, and like you say, they're really not what they're selling. They're just creating the illusion, sexual happiness while you're laying in a bathtub, touching your partner who's in another bathtub in the middle of, just the crazy illusions that they have. Oh, you're going to sleep soundly because there's a butterfly flying around because you've took some kind of dope that leads you into sleepwalking. These kinds of things are just crazy. And yet, because we've been raised in this society, because we've seen this from the time we're as watching TV could be as infants, we buy into this and forget the simple pleasures, the pleasures we were born with to be complete, to be loving, to be human. And somehow we have to go back and do that. This is where your programs are so extraordinary. What else have you got in there that's good for people?
Well, I'm thinking as you're talking, I'm thinking of some examples of, I think people, we do have pain in our bodies oftentimes, and yet we forget that there might be some simple solutions to some of it. For example, we might have a headache, and what's the first thing, when I say to students, what's the first thing you do when you have a headache? And more often than not, students say, take an aspirin, take some kind of a pill. And I say, well, what I'm asking you to do is to stop a minute and think about the underlying cause of why you might have a headache. For example, maybe it's midday and you haven't had anything to eat yet today. Maybe that's a reason. So that rather than taking a pill, maybe if you ate some healthy food, your headache would go away. Or maybe you have a headache because you're stressed out and you haven't taken time to just breathe and to relax for a minute. And maybe if you took some time to do that, your headache would go away. So my point is that we've learned to jump to these quick fix solutions and to try to find that silver bullet, when in fact, if we just stop and step back a little bit and really think about the underlying cause of some of these things, we could take care of them ourselves without having to pop a pill.
Yeah, the idea of taking care of ourselves so that we can take care of others.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're with Professor Kathy Fuller, Western Michigan University Holistic Health. This is Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. We're going to be right back. Hold on.
St-
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Speaking of Health is brought to you by Old Time Medicinals Essential Oil Formulas. Remedies from yesterday to help you heal today. Have aches, pain, muscle soreness, inflamed joints, or stiffness cut into the joy of your life? Have you been denied the health, wealth, and happiness you deserve? Old Time Medicinals has life-changing products to help you help yourself to a pain-free existence. For more information, email us at oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com. Get your life back now. Email oldtimemedicinals@gmail.com.
Nine different energy systems make up the energy body. Energy is all around us and connects us. Energy exerts a major control over our biology and is a big reason why you should be tuning in to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Deatley. We'll explore energy balance techniques, tips, and patterns to keep your flow of energy optimal to maintain maximal health. By adopting these techniques, you will keep your energy body and physical body in harmony. Listen for Energy Medicine and Optimal Health, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudless. To reach Dr. Cudless or his guest today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to drmcudless@gmail.com. Now, back to Speaking of Health.
Hi, welcome back. Dr. Michael Cudless here. We're speaking with Kathy Fuller, professor of holistic health here at Western Michigan University. And we've been talking throughout the show about making the simple connections. You know, the acts of kindness to others, but also to ourselves, gratitude, good nutrition, positive mental attitude, good rest and relaxation, those kinds of things that allow us to connect back to ourselves. But we don't always just live in a world where we run it all by ourselves, where it's all about me. We do have to connect with others. And so what are some of the things, Kathy, that allow us to connect with others in the world so we have a sense of completion with those around us?
Well, I call this a widening of the lens of holism, because, you know, the question that arose to me, a few years ago was, okay, so I'm working at living a more holistic lifestyle as an individual, but how do I, as then a holistic individual, go into the world and maintain, that sense of self and that sense of holism and connectedness. How do I take myself then into the larger world? And so, first of all, I began to realize that how much time do I spend by myself as opposed to how much time do I spend with other people? You know, some people don't like to be by themselves. And I remember the first time I took myself out to dinner. Have you ever gone out to dinner or lunch or breakfast by yourself? And at first you feel like everybody's looking at you because people must think something's wrong with you because you're all by yourself. You don't have any friends or something, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you got to have a newspaper. You got to have something to read while you're out there.
But I've learned to be comfortable with myself when I'm by myself. That I can do pretty much, I can take myself to a movie if I want to. I can take myself for a walk. I can take myself out to a meal. And spending time by myself is important. And then spending time with other people is also important. So, you know, there's nothing like being with friends. According to the research, the thing that makes us the happiest, that contributes most to our happiness is having positive relationships with other people and healthy relationships with other people. And so that those moments and times that we spend with other people are very important. But at the same time, we need to balance that by spending some time by ourselves as well and not being afraid to do that.
You know, with the holidays coming up, we always run into stuff like, you know, here comes Thanksgiving. Oh, God, I'm going to go spend it with my family. Uncle Fred is coming. He is such a pain in the neck. Oh, my God. What kind of fool is he going to make of himself now? You know, and it's almost like there's more trouble with the holidays. Instead of time of being celebration and joy and happiness, it's like, oh, God, not again. Please rescue me from this.
Yeah.
It seems totally backwards.
I know it. And yet, you know, here's the interesting thing to me as I've gotten older, is that family, whether you like your family or not, and some families are healthy and some families aren't so healthy and, you know, so on, and there's a continuum there about that. But no matter what, it's your family who's going to be with you from cradle to grave. And so somewhere you need to reconcile yourself with your family because they're going to be in your life forever.
Well, I think one way or another, that's very true. And I think also as we grow in life, as we learn, as we develop, as we become an adult and move into recognizing what our life is truly about, we may actually have families that change. We could have a biological family, but we might have a different spiritual family because our beliefs change along the way. But that doesn't get away from the fact that who we are, where we came from, is very important. And that reconciliation with our biological family, I think, is very important because if you can't do it there, you're going to take those damaged ideas into other family relationships you may try to form, either with friends or spiritual relationships or whatever, and you're going to have create a similar situation there simply because it's a type of family. And geez, in our family, we didn't get along so well.
Yeah. Well, and you know, family, as you say, can be defined very broadly. I mean, we have a, what we call in our family is our core group. And a lot of those people that we consider family aren't really biological family members at all. But they're people who've been in our lives and who we bring in close and who have brought us in close. And it's that circle of that creates that circle of support and friendship. And sometimes we don't even see each other all that often, but they're still our family and we consider them our family.
The idea of wealth, there's a wealth and a richness there that doesn't require frequency as much as it's quality.
Right.
That's involved. Now, as we're coming into the end of the show already, I'm just fascinated as I do these shows because the wonderful people we have on, such as yourself, these hours just fly by. And we've got about 3 minutes to go here. What else would you like to say?
Well, I wanted to talk
somebody?
Just a little bit about communication skills because I think we sometimes forget about communication skills, you know, and the importance of talking, of sharing our feelings with people that we love and care about, that we take the time to do that, that we put down the newspaper, that we put down the cell phone, that we turn off the TV and spend quality time looking at each other, sharing with each other, because that forms a deeper connection and a deep bond, and brings a lot of joy to our lives.
Boy, that's real important. That's really, I know it, that's a weakness on my part very often because I tend to bite off more than I can chew. So I have a lot of things going, a lot of irons in the fire. And then all of a sudden my world gets disrupted by a minor thing. And instead of just taking it in stride, sometimes I snap and I say things that I shouldn't say, or I say it in a way that I shouldn't say. And fortunately, I get feedback that helps me wise up to that, and sometimes I don't, and then I have to go back and fix myself again because it's like, whoops, that was a big mistake. You know, I didn't know my mouth could hold a size 13 foot so easily.
Like, well, you know, I admire you for that, Michael, because I think we all have to be willing to be able to look at ourselves and say, whoops, I didn't do that right. And to be able to say I'm sorry, right? Forgiveness, I think, is another area that we haven't had a lot of time to talk about. But but I think forgiving ourselves and forgiving others when we put our foot in it, or you know, say things and do things that to hurt other people that we didn't mean.
Well, see, that's a practical application of recognizing that the world's not a perfect place.
Right.
And, you know, mistakes happen. Everybody's used a pencil, and I bet every one of the pencils they've used has an eraser that's been used on the back. So nobody's perfect in what they do.
That's
Kathy,
right.
I want to thank you for being with us today. We've got a minute to go, and I want to remind our listeners out there that we have the 9 magic words that we use and we close with every day. And with this show today, those 9 magic words are going to be even more powerful for you. Remember what they are. God bless you. I love you. Peace be still. Remember the things we talked about connecting yourself today, connecting yourself to the world, connecting yourself to those people that you love. And these 9 magic words can help with that connection, because if there's a problem, you can always send them a message. God bless you. I love you. Peace be still. True miracles happen when we do that. Take care, ladies and gentlemen. Join us next week on Speaking of Health. You have a very good time. Next week is going to be a repeat show because it's Thanksgiving. So give thanks out there. Love those that you have. Kiss the people in your family. And most of all, remember, take care of yourself so that you can take care of others. I'll see you now. Bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's edition of Speaking of Health. Please join Dr. Michael Cudlis again next Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a heartfelt and healthy week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.